On the record.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the January 11th, 2017. Happy New Year to everybody at the board meeting. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask Quinn to do the roll call of the board members.
Mr. Wilkins.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Here.
Mr. Kennedy.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here.
Ms. Brown.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Here.
Mr. Pruitt.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Quinn. Would you do staff and public, please?
Okay. As I point to you, please state your name and organization. We'll start here.
John Springsteen, ADA.
Pat Grohl.
Jim Hensap, ADA.
Mark Davis, ADA.
Sydney Hamilton, McIntyre.
Mark Gardner, PFM.
Nick Shimoniak, ADA.
Ben Britton, Pentex.
Ontario, ADA.
Harston Rodvik, ADA.
Beck.
Jennifer Haldane, ADA.
Alan Bailey, Petroleum News.
Tom Erickson, ADA.
Brendan Applegate, ADA.
Chris Anderson, ADA.
Jerry Judick, Department of Law.
Joe Wilbur, IGU.
Jack Wilbur, IGU.
Green Kempinen, ADA. Do we got any public on the phone? Public on the phone.
Thank you, Corinne. Our next item is the agenda approval. Mr. Dick.
Chairman, I'll move the agenda with one modification. That is switching 7A and 7B. So having the Interior Energy Project update first, followed by the executive session.
All right, thank you. Any objection to that modification? Any objection to the agenda?
No.
Thank you. All right, so we have agenda approval. Public comments. I didn't hear anybody online, but I'll ask again. Public comments, please limit 3 minutes. Name and your affiliation. Is anybody online wishing to make a public comment? Hearing none online, I'll close online. Anybody in the boardroom? Anybody in the boardroom? No one in the boardroom. Public comments is closed. Item 6, prior minutes for December 1st and December 15th.
Your Chairman, I'll move both sets of minutes.
Thank you.
Do
you have a chance to review those minutes?
Yes.
Any deletions, corrections, additions, comments, suggestions?
None here.
Any objections to approving them? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Item number 7 is new business. 7B, Interior Energy Project Update. John?
Item 7B, update on the interior. Oh,
7B.
B. Okay, there's an update on the Interior Energy Project. As Gene Terrio and Asim is in.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I could ask Jack Wilbur from IGU to come forward.
Welcome, Jack.
Thank you.
And if we could perhaps start with Jack just giving a little bit of information on IGU board action yesterday.
Chairman Bruce, members of the board, thank you for allowing me to speak for a few minutes today. First of all, I'm pleased to announce that the IGU board last night passed unanimously the resolution adopting the MOU that is in front of you today. Been a lot of hard work to get here, and we thank members of the ADA negotiations team for the hard work and for working with us to get to where we are today. So thank you, Gene, Dan, Nick, Mark. Thank you very much for working with us. It is a significant milestone that we are pleased with and happy to have achieved. There is naturally lots of hard work left, and we envision your support going forward to a successful IEP project. Once again, an important step so far, but lots of hard work left to do. I have nothing further on that. Just thanks a lot.
There are any questions, Mr. Wolf, from the board, comments? Gary?
Thank you. I would just like to highlight that Jack I was pleased to see that you're going to be here this morning, but I was also pleased, as were many, when out of the blue he announced that he was going to run for one of the four elected seats on IGU. So I think Jack has been integral in this, and his way is to sort of linger in the background and not be out front, and it's appreciated by many. So Jack, would you just, and I know this is hard on you, but would you just take 1 minute and talk about your history in Fairbanks and what you've done and what you currently do?
Well, thank you. My family has been in Alaska and in Fairbanks for a very long time, and I'm really proud of my pioneer heritage, and that's the backdrop for why I engage myself in Fairbanks organizations like IGU. They're important to Fairbanks. Getting gas to Fairbanks is a very important step, we believe, in our continued economic development. I am currently, naturally, I'm vice chair of the IGU board. I sit on the Alaska Chamber Board, on the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce Board, and so, and all of my involvement always has been merely to advance Fairbanks and the so that Fairbanks offers its citizens the best that can be. As president of Design Alaska, when I was, I no longer am, but when I was president of Design Alaska, I was really, it was real important to me that Design Alaska be recognized as a good corporate citizen, because I believe that the only way that a community can be successful is for the business community to support their local community and in any way it can. My, it's interesting that, thank you, Gary, for pointing out the election of the board. At first, when Orrin Paul approached me to take his place on the board, I had no idea it was an elected position until I got a call from the borough saying, where's your APOC filing? Here we are, you know, so, but I was elected and proud to have been so, and very pleased to be a part of the IGU board and part of, especially of whatever I could do to bring gas to Fairbanks. I have been supportive of the project right from the beginning. I have tried to, and not single-handedly by any means, to bring the project that would be acceptable to both IGU and ADA, because I knew that the project was going to be successful if we could work together as a team.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Mr.
Brett?
Mr. Chairman, if I could piggyback on Senator Wilkins' comments and say that I am an absolute newcomer to Alaska. I've only been here a little less than 9 years, so I want to take advantage of your pioneer roots. Could you explain Fairbanks to me?
I can ask the same about Anchorage. You know, I've always, you know, interestingly enough, you know, I have some very good friends that have moved to Anchorage and, amazingly enough, found a very successful life here, but it's always kind of baffled me that.
Jack, that question came from somebody from Wyoming, so you'll understand.
So, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate Jack's comments here today on behalf of the board, you know, and actually he's highlighted his interaction with Fairbanks organizations looking out for the economic health of the community. He and his wife are also great supporters of the arts in Fairbanks, so not only looking for, out for the economic health, but the cultural health in the community too, so appreciate that. So if I could just maybe walk through, as I have done during the board meetings, the different components of the IEP, to give you an update. First, to let you know that the most recent quarterly report was finally approved by the governor's office yesterday and sent to the legislature, so we have met that quarterly obligation. Because it is direct communication with the legislature, we have an obligation to touch base with the governor's office before we do that. And so that was transmitted, and so today is the first little public availability of that quarterly report. And now just to tick down through the different components. On gas supply, we are continuing to work on securing the gas supply for the long-term supply of what we hope now will be the integrated utilities. Due to the success that we had in moving forward with the MOU to consolidate the utilities, IGU, about a month and a half ago, actually sort of stepped into the lead of the gas supply team, the team on behalf of the utilities that are interacting with a potential supplier out of the Cook Inlet, because ultimately the gas we were talking about would be the long-term supply for the integrated utilities led under unified effort IGU ownership. At this point, we are still hopeful that we will be able to close on a proposed gas supply agreement that has been transmitted to that supplier, but there is some unsurety involved in that, and so we're waiting to hear back from the supplier. We know that although we will go over today the approval of the MOU by IGU yesterday and pending consideration by the Ada board today, the gas supply contract remains a critical component to really advancing the terms or achieving the goals of the IEP. So we have a gas supply agreement pending, but there is some uncertainty on getting to closure on that. On the LNG plant, we did purchase the pre-feed documents from Salix, and we are preparing to move into feed when it's appropriate under the unified utility structure. And so that would then bring about the expansion of the LNG plant capacity. So we're preparing to move into feed when the time is right. On the transportation front, in the last couple of meetings, we've covered the success that we were having with the expanded trailers or the larger trailers and the potential to ship via rail. Looking forward to continuing to evaluate how we optimize those two methods of shipping LNG into the community. And I will let you know that of the 14 trailers that we have right now, Dan has indicated that he's put a couple more into the mix just so we can top off the tanks as we go into next week's cold weather up in Fairbanks. Although we had a warmer fall, it looks like we're having a good old-fashioned Fairbanks winter. So business is good, and we're going to make sure that we have the IT to sell to the customers in place. With regards to storage, as I've reported in the past, the utilities have come to agreement on how storage in the Fairbanks North Pole area should be sized up. And again, with regards to pre-feed, we are prepared to move into the final design work on the large storage expansion in South Texas when the time is right under the unified utility structure. We are very mindful of the storage credit and repayment mechanism that is on the state books. We know that funding through that mechanism is not a sure thing, but in order to potentially take advantage of that, we have to have storage constructed and in operation and certified under a utility structure by January 1st, 2020. And so now that we're not feeling incredible pressure on that deadline. We have to just have the extended storage constructed and in operation under a utility model by January 1st, 2020. And so we're very much aware of, you know, that deadline out there. Potentially, we believe that we do have time to get everything in place, but we do need to move forward on storage. And actually, under the public comment that was offered at the IGU meeting yesterday, one individual that came on behalf of a commercial customer in Fairbanks, somebody that currently uses gas and has facilities that could be hooked up to gas, was supportive of moving forward on storage because of all the infrastructure that we're contemplating. If there was larger storage capacity in the community right now, we would be able to get better utilization of the LNG plant that we currently have. Right now we can't run that plant full out all summer long because we don't have the storage capacity in the community to store all of that product. So storage is a key component, and existing customers, commercial customers, understand that and are supported moving forward on the storage expansion. Under the utility consolidation, Jack has made comments, but Jomo, I'm not sure if you have any other comments just as far as your board's deliberation.
I would actually like Jomo to come forward because I do have a couple questions about that. Okay. And Jack, you're more than welcome to stay here.
So.
It's
fine. And I just have one other quick thing to say because Jim Dawson would never forgive me if I don't. I'm also board chair for FEDC.
Jack, many hats.
So, as you heard, the IGU board did approve the MOU yesterday. It was unanimous. They had one of their members that was excused due to a potential conflict, but it was a unanimous vote of the remaining members. And so I wasn't sure if Joma wanted to make any comments about their deliberation, comments made.
You know, and you all actually covered quite well what I was going to say. So I'll just read the next question.
Okay. And so on behalf of the ADA board, an action item that you have for consideration on your agenda, a little bit further down the agenda, is the consideration of the resolution that would authorize Executive Director Springsteen to take action on the memorandum also. The MOU actually sets in place utilization of the financial tools in a way that will allow us to meet the IEP goals. However, and this is a big however, it gets back to that gas supply. That does count on a gas supply from the Cook Inlet that has the features that are really needed for this project. And those features are an attractive gas price, flexibility on take-or-pay obligations, and a duration of contract. We're actually asking for a contract of a length that is longer than you typically see in the Cook Inlet. Although those are big asks for a producer in Cook Inlet, the thing that we offer in return is a new market for gas in Cook Inlet and the ability to grow the supply, the production, as we grow the market in interior. And although the plant is targeted to serve the interior demand anchored in Fairbanks and North Pole. We currently serve supply in Talkeetna. We've sent some temporary shipments under an interruptible contract to Tok, so we know that there are entities that are watching this project closely. They're interested in taking advantage of the product too, if in fact we can deliver on the target price that we have discussed over the years. Under the MOU, we will be a key component of that is combining the two utilities. At the time that the ADA board purchased the Pentex assets, it was estimated under the business plan that was put together and part of the board packet when that deal was closed, that under the consolidated utility, the combined utility would be able to save up to $30 million in the first 10 years of operation. That is a combination of lower capital costs and economies of scale and lower operating costs that would be available under a combined structure. And I believe that the MOU that you'll consider later today, again, deploys the capital tools that were given to us by the legislature to achieve those potential savings for the consumers in the interior. Under distribution, conversion assistance, we've got a couple things that we have talked about repeatedly over the past year. PACE legislation will be reintroduced. The governor's office has indicated a desire to work with members of the legislature. So the bills will be going in under the sponsorship of the individual legislators, and the governor's legislative office has given me authorization to work directly with legislative offices to offer whatever information and support they desire as they work to move the legislation through the committee process. I know that IGU is also investigating the potential of offering on-bill financing, which would be a tool that's got similar attributes as PACE. It would be a tool that would be offered to residential customers to help them if they've got conversion costs to hook up to the natural gas that they need assistance with. And so, Mr. Chairman, I think that sort of ticks down through the different components of the supply chain, and I'm available to answer questions. I would imagine that you might have more detailed questions on the MOU when that is taken up later on the agenda.
Thank you, Gene. And I'll ask questions for Gary.
Gene, what is the longest lead time item that we have? Is it storage? And if so, what is the time to design and build the storage tank?
I'd like Dan Britton to come up, but I think it's probably a race between the cold box and the storage. Cold box on the LNG plant versus storage, but Dan would have the
information. The storage is probably the longest lead time to final completion right now. However, given we have done a substantial amount of preliminary work, we do have a final foundation design that's based on a couple of years of engineering and data gathering for ground temperatures and load testing of the ground, specific ground that this tank could be located on. We do have the major special permit that's required from PHMSA for a variance because we're within a mile proximity of a runway. And if you have to have a special permit to have an LNG storage tank, so we have a couple of the long lead time items. The critical part with the storage more so is construction timing. We need two summer construction seasons for that facility, and the foundation work can happen in the winter. Pilings can be driven in the wintertime. And so that's really the critical component, is to be able to have contracts negotiated, the feed done, to allow enough time to get started in the winter, and then it's two more construction seasons following. So I would say that right now the storage is our longest lead time. With regards to the liquefaction facility, the one specific component of the liquefaction is generally the cold box, and it's the heat exchanger that goes inside the cold box that's the longest lead time, and that's usually about 14 months to get your complete equipment for the liquefaction side. We can do all the civil works in advance, and so we can expedite the final installation and the commissioning of the liquefaction components easier than we can the storage.
Thank you. So in regard to our $20.5 million in credits, we have this summer to let slip by, but then next summer we need to be in the dirt and building and welding so that we build in 18 and 19 and have it turned up by 12/31/19 in order to get our $20.5 million. Is that? That's correct.
In order to be eligible for the storage credit or payment as it exists on the books today.
Yes. Okay. All right. I think it's helpful for us to keep that deadline in mind. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, that mechanism is there. It counts on a dollar being actually in the bucket at the time that we're ready to get a payment. That's not a sure thing, but we anticipate working with the Interior delegation, the administration, at the time.
Thank you.
Questions, please? So I got a couple questions on the integration. So Jomo, appreciate you and Jack coming today.
Obviously, from a consolidation standpoint, and as a small businessman, I focus on OPEX categories. Once your debt finance is in place and structured, you pretty much have a known entity that you can plan on to cover over the next whatever length of time it is. OPEX, on the other hand, is a little bit different animal. So, in the consolidation discussions, what is your plan, or what is the plan between FNG and IGU on the consolidation as far as I see assets here, but I don't see anywhere it talks about the human resource portion of it. And so I would like, for the record, for the public, if we can, what the anticipated plan is for that, how the consolidated utility would typically run in the future, obviously with OPEX being as low as absolutely possible to meet the IEP goals, I assume. So I would be, I'd like to discuss that a little bit on what IGU is anticipating, since they'll be taking the baton in conjunction with the existing FNG human resource assets.
Right at the beginning, FNG and Pentex, they're in operation right now. They run a very tight ship. It's efficient, it's effective, and it's getting a good job done. And so right at the top, in fact, for several months now, there was a conversation between Mr. Britton and the chairman, just letting Chairman Meeks letting Dan know that he could let his people know that certainly right at the off set, it would be expected to keep all those people in place doing the jobs they're doing. Now, where we move forward from there, again, you said, what's the plan for integration? Some of that preliminary discussion is actually built into the MOU itself, but really we're at that stage where we're at the planning, the onset of the planning on how nuts and bolts and timeline basis, how that integration will actually be carried forward. It's as open as the discussion of, right now, ADA, they bought the membership interest. They essentially just replaced the investor board of Pentex and have been operating as the board, as you all well know. That is an option, of course, for the IGU to essentially just replace ADA at the top of an existing organization with an existing corporate structure and substructures. But is that the ideal for a municipal utility moving forward? I think right now here at the offset, the first blush assumption is that it would functionally would look much like what happened when ADA purchased Pentex from its outside owners. Replacement of boards, existing operation in place, and then having time to assess if a different structure would be more beneficial to the operation of a municipal utility.
So, Joel, can we anticipate prior to execution of a sale document a document that shows your plan?
Yes, you
and may. And structure with the integrated utility?
Yes, okay. You may. I'm surprised I got to the board meeting with that, or with just the preliminary documents that we had in place at that time. And so, yes, certainly I assume that this board, just like my board, will want to have some understanding of that and like to be able to see it as concretely as possible.
Okay. Dan, do you have anything to add to that? Or?
No, other than they have engaged with me, some of the IGU team, to have those discussions with regards to integration. I have communicated to them some of my thoughts on how that can take place. I share Jomo's views that it could be quite simple in that it could be similar to the way the ADA transaction transpired and ADA became the effective board of Pentex and the operations continues as were in existence. That option remains. The facilities that FNG currently operates out of has some capacity to incorporate some of the additional IGU staff that exists, so there's an opportunity to save some operating expenses right from the get-go on day one as it relates to facilities. So the conversations have started, and that detailed plan will be put in place. FNG has a great group of employees, and as well as Titan, that operate those facilities today, 365 days a year, with a high level of reliability of gas supply to their customers, and I'm confident that that team can continue to do that, and that those employees would look forward to doing that.
Okay. I appreciate that. I will say that from a, you know, as Ada transitions, looks like from a downstream from a, you know, from an owner to a financer, we obviously speak for myself and maybe for some board members. We want to have good confidence and be a partner and be able to make it successful. That's kind of why when we took over the role as an ownership, we didn't mess with what was working and brought what we thought were some strengths and some local, you know, I would say regional input. But with IGU, you will actually have the local input, which we think would be value added to the consolidated utility. So that was my question. Is there any further questions from Gary?
Mr. Chairman, as a matter of process, are we going to be able to access Jomo and Jack when we consider 7C, actually consider the resolution, if we have questions? I have two, but they may be better posed and answered after our executive session.
Well, so the question, will you be here when we...
Yes.
So that will be here.
So we can
ask your answer.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Weber does have a flight at 4 p.m.
Okay, so he's here until 3.
but I'll be back after I drop him off. I will be back if you all do. I'm at your disposal.
We're looking at the executive session. No.
We'll
have to work hard. All right, any questions from the board? Thank you, Gene. Jomo, Jack, thank you. All right, item number 7 on new business is apologies for a motion to go into executive session.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I move that the board go into executive session to discuss confidential matters related to the CEO Executive Director Review, Interior Energy Project, Mach 1, and tax operations.
Second. Objection? Gary?
No objection. I just want to comment.
Corinne, what room are we going to?
You guys are going to be in the Aspen room.
All right. Gary?
Could I want to go back to that comment about Jack having with plan 4, so he needs to be out here at least by 3. So I wonder if in our executive session here, if Jomo and the staff could dial up, because we could go, we could need you here at 3 o'clock. So if we could, if Jack needs to get to the airport, if somebody on the staff here could get him to the airport and leave you here, I think it would be helpful. Is that okay, Mr.
Chairman? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
The phones will be on mute while the board is in executive session.
Welcome back, everybody. I will report that the board did not take any action while in executive session and any of the topics we discussed. That being said, item number 7C, resolution G17-01, a non-binding utility integration MOU with IGU. You should have the MOU in your packet under memorandum from John, from Gene Terrio to John Brinkley.
Second.
Thank you. John, discussion.
Yep. So resolution number G17-01 authorizes ADA to enter into a utility integration memorandum of understanding with the Interior Gas Utility, of which the IGU board approved last night. And there was some discussion of it earlier. I would like to ask Gene if there's additional discussion you'd like to provide related to the MOU and the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Myself or members of the team that were involved in negotiating the MOU are here to answer questions if you have any. I would point out that after this document was sent, it was noticed at the IGU board meeting last night. There are two references to appendix on page 8 that are incorrect. IGU just took care of it under, you know, it was just a typographical error or an adjustment that changed no content. So should you vote in the affirmative on the MOU, I can point out on page 8 there's a reference to Appendix C, and that really should be Appendix B. It's titled correctly, but the alphabetic identifier is incorrect.
Is it the fifth bullet point down or the sixth bullet point?
It is 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth bullet point down.
That should be B.
Appendix C there, it should be B. And the next one down, C, should be D, as we did it.
There is no C. Oh, I see. Is 1, 2, 3, 4, C should be B or what?
The first C should be B. The second C should be D.
Any objections to those slight modifications to the resolution? Okay. Discussion. Gene, Gary.
Mr. Chairman, as we discussed this morning, the IG board did move forward. We realized as we were negotiating with the IGU on how to apply the financing package that we were leaning heavily on the levers that we have with regards to the SETS program in particular and flexibility that we have there and flexibility that was given to us specifically for the SETS funds that were designated for this project. We realized that it is aggressive. We did, though, as we negotiated with them, kept all our give and take to the financial tools that the legislature gave us specifically, although there were suggestions that they were perhaps funds outside of those tools that should have been brought into the fold, and we resisted those suggestions. So at this point, we believe that we've got a proposal here to move forward, utilize the tools in a way that will allow us to achieve the IG's goals, even if we're in a challenged environment where fuel oil, the competing commodity, is low as it is today. We think that we are given specific flexibility with those financing tools to help to mitigate that type of risk, project risk.
Okay. Gary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make two comments. One, a thank you to an industry that I've spoken to at least twice on the record in the last year, and I'd like to put it back on the table. My biggest concern in this MOU, and as we march forward, as we start the transition from ADA to IGU, is the fact that, and thinking ahead now 5 years or 10 years from now, the fact that we will have an elected body, 4 of 7, that will have the job of setting rates. That obviously is a very important component of this utility marching forward. And I'm concerned that we are going to have 4 elected officials. I'll set the 3 appointed folks aside for the moment. But we'll have 4 elected folks that will act not as public servants, but as politicians. And we'll set rates based not on what's good for the utility, but what's good for their reelection. I say this based on experience. I lived through 1970 and 1980 and 1990 when I saw the city of Fairbanks, MUS, deteriorate little by little by little, because we had city councils and mayors, obviously were elected, that would not take the recommendation of the utility, would not raise rates, would not support bonds, because it wasn't, even though the utility was falling apart, they valued their seat more than they valued what to do was right. This is not fiction. I spent 13 years on the utility board for Fairbanks and watched this fall apart. It distresses me that this may happen 10 years from now with IGU. So with that backdrop and with the fact that I can speak about this in all confidence, that the possibility of it may happen and the fact that if it happens, all the work that we've done, all the support that has been given from the legislature right through us right to IGU will come unwrapped. Not because it's a bad project, because people don't have the courage to vote what's best for the utility rather than best for their political aspirations. So with that backdrop, I ask this. Somewhere, I don't know where to put it, somewhere in the agreement that we're going to sign by March 31st, I want it to be crystal clear for someone that sits on that board 10 years from now, their responsibilities, and in words, clearly, that they can refer back to something that says, well, just a minute, the document says, now, I don't know if that's legal, I don't know if that's threatening, I don't know if they come and take their home, I don't know what they do, but folks are a lot smarter than I and are going to work on this in the next 2 months. I want you to spend some time thinking not of today, but thinking of 5 or 10 years from now. So there is a section in this document that is clearly understood, the responsibility of those 7 people, and that can be referred to, that is succinct and durable and meaningful. And that will exist in the document and be spoken about every time you sit down to make rates. Now, that's my first ask. The second, if that can't be done, the second thing I would ask, and this is not the first utility structure like this in the United States. Perhaps there's somewhere, if we can't put it in a living document, and a durable document, is there a way that we put in place a structure that has an arm's length review, assessment, recommendation for rates given the facts set in front? So those are two paths that we may take. I am not suggesting, nor would I want at this time, that we suggest they be put under RCA control. Been down that road. We don't need to spend that money. But I'm going to zero in on this like a hawk, because I think it is the single piece that threatens this utility from existence for a generation to come. So with that, thank you for your indulgence. Secondly, let me just say thank you. This is a significant step that we've taken that was handed to us by the legislature some 3 years ago in March, and 4 years ago in March, and we took a different path 2 years ago. And there's been a tremendous amount of work, angst, discussion, but we are where we are, and I'm privileged to be associated with the team that has brought us this far. Seldom in your life do you get a chance to participate in something that provides benefit to generations to come. And this is what we're doing today. This is the first step, because people that will come long after us, after we've all assumed room temperature, will benefit by the work that's been done the last couple of years. And I just can't tell you, but you can tell how proud I am of what we have done. And I'm not ready to pop the champagne corks, but I'm ready to take it out of the case and put it in the refrigerator, because I feel good about where we're headed. I feel good about getting the last piece in place, and I feel good about what we've done and what we're going to do for the second biggest city in Alaska to get clean energy and to lay a basis for economic development for Fairbanks and for North Pole. So with that, to the team, thank you so much. I look forward to spending more time, more effort, and you being right there hand in hand as we march forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Sure. Just if I could respond to the first issue, if members will look on page 7, there is some language in the document that talks about, in fact, the IGU board will be contractually obligated to set rates, generate annual net revenue sufficient to cover the debt service for investment grade municipal utility financing on the state and rural obligation bonds. And also the SETS loans. So we do have some language there Certainly, Board Member Wilkins has expressed that concern previously. We've got a bullet in here, and so as we move forward to really hammer out the loan documents, we can make sure that that's robust language that everybody understands. And so that it talks about the potential bonds and sets. And I'll point out up above that, we also have some language that talk about the utility is supposed to maintain an investment grade structure, anticipating that they will need to go to the bond market. There will be requirements of the bond market to make sure that it's a utility grade structure, that they are setting rates in an appropriate manner to make to repay those bonds too. So that will be a hurdle that they have to clear before they get access to that bond financing. So I think we've got some bullets in here that will allow us to look for language that satisfies Board Member Wilkins' concern.
So I would like to expand a little bit about that. I do share Yuri's concern. What I'm concerned about that, Gene, is nowhere does it talk about the deterioration of assets and maintaining those to an industry standard, nor does it talk about making sure that there's appropriate capital expenditures to continue that those assets are viable, safe, and available for generations to come. So that's probably something to be worked out. You can work that out to make sure. But you know, there's two components. Obviously, you pay your debt and your debt service, but you don't want to do it at the expense of the deterioration of your hard asset or having a reserve account to take care of issues that may come up that are anticipated. So I'll just kind of go with that. Further comments from the board? Fred?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board and the public, as we move forward with this vote, I just want to note that I think our executive director properly identifies when we're dealing with policy projects as opposed to the ADA revolving loan fund, which has a different set of duties attached to it. But we all take our duties seriously regarding the resources that are allocated and appropriated to our entity. And so in this particular policy project, which is taken a great deal of work by the staff and the board these past 18 months or 2 years, I wanted to note that I think that we are appropriately using the full flexibility of the SETS funds that were appropriated to us, which provided for roughly $50 million in grant capacity and $125 million in the SETS funds. And as we deploy those resources and move forward, I look forward to working with IGU and our staff working with IGU as they have done these past months in negotiations. But the steps in front of us include securing a gas supply and standing up that combined entity such that it can shoulder the full responsibilities to the citizens of Fairbanks and to the interior. And where that circles to for me is that I'm not a resident of Fairbanks, but I read the news and you constantly see the reference to health issues and air quality issues, and ultimately a long-term clean fuel supply is the central driver to this project. And I just look forward to moving that the next step down the road.
Thank you, Fred. Further comments for us? So you know, this document contains some loan terms that mitigate risks to the IEP because of the current existing low oil fuel prices. The terms are set to reduce risk to do those prices. Oil may go up and reduce that risk. Sets deferral or interest should be adjustable if economics allow. So I would like to see a mechanism in the final document for the deal that would allow the sets deferral or interest rate to be adjusted if economics of the project will allow. So the citizens of this state has deferred and given a great asset and terms to this project. I would think they would enjoy the opportunity that should be present itself in the years ahead
that oil prices go up and the dollars and the conversions are higher than anticipated, that they share in that benefit because of it. So an upside, so to speak. So Gene, I would love to look for some guidance on that and hope that something, an upside for the return of the SETS funds to deploy it again on other projects to that benefit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll certainly take these comments back as you prepare to take your vote, as we move into the next phase and negotiate on language that will ultimately be brought back to board. And one of the issues that is mentioned, you just touched on, gas supply. That is a critical part. And before we actually can move everything forward, even in the terms of this MOU, we do need to nail down that gas supply. We're very hopeful with the suggested contract that we've got out there with a producer, but we're not assured that we'll have that. So we're going to continue to work on getting that gas supply, but start to anticipate the documents that need to be drafted up to move, that are spoken to directly in this document, and we will take your comments into consideration as we go into those negotiations.
Thank you, Gene. You ready for the question?
I missed one point I meant to make, which is to state the obvious, but it is exciting to see the MOU and the integration of IGU-FNG proceed. It's been a central objective we've had now for a substantial period of time.
I would like to send my appreciation to the folks, IGU folks in Fairbanks, for their determination in working with our IEP team, with ADA, and other community leaders to get this MOU agreed to and in front of us today for our consideration. It's the biggest step, I think, and I would hope that it's now a team effort to get the project to the finish line so Fairbanks can control its destiny. With that, Corinne, I will ask you for a roll call.
Mr. Wilkins.
Big yay.
Deputy Commissioner Paradise.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Pruse.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Corinne. Okay, so that puts the MOU behind us. Next up on our agenda is item 7D, dividend calculation discussion. So, look forward to that, John.
So, got his room clear. Oh, can't use that. Thanks.
Thanks for coming down. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
So, preferences, we had a discussion of the dividend here at our last meeting, and this is to facilitate starting something that maybe we could put some bookends on expectations and how to calculate it in the future, start the discussion. I don't know if we need to have a resolution today, but at least the discussion starts, and hopefully next near term that we would have the bookends put in place.
And then I guess first and foremost, wanted to recognize the importance of the board having discretion when determining the dividend. This allows the board to balance between the financial return to the state while retaining the financial capability for ADA to achieve its enterprise economic development mission. So what we provided you with is a sheet with three charts on it. The top chart is the statutory dividend range for the past 10 years. The middle chart is the dividend range if unrealized gains and losses were excluded from the calculation. And the bottom chart is the dividend range if unrealized gains and losses were excluded from the calculation and a five-year average was used. I guess I would say that you know, the middle chart shows a dividend range based on what ADA actually earned. This is aligned with the ADA legislation that was introduced last session that we understand will continue during this session. And we would also note that the permanent fund dividend calculation uses a net income amount, which excludes unrealized gains and losses because they're not actual earned income. And the bottom chart shows a dividend range based on what ADA actually earned, and then averages these actual earnings over a five-year period. This is similar to the approach used in calculating the permanent fund dividend and has the effect of smoothing or normalizing the dividend. So that's what's presented to you. Is the top is by statute the range that the board has discretion over currently. The middle is excluding unrealized gains and losses, and then the bottom is excluding unrealized gains and losses and then averaging over a five-year period, similar to what the permanent fund dividend does.
Okay. So I'll go with Jerry.
Well, first, I just have one technical issue with your graphs here, and that is that the top graph is not on the same scale as the others, so it does not allow for comparison. So I would suggest that you put them on the same scale so we can clearly see the difference in total magnitude.
Yeah, okay, Commissioner, we'll, in addition to scale, provide overlays as well, right, so you can see, make that comparison.
I can use the overlay, but if I have different scales, then I have to expand it first.
Okay. Yes.
So noted. That's just a technical issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we know you're the money guy that likes the money.
So that, you know, it makes it appear that there's less difference when you do it this way. So. But so what is the average magnitude difference for a maximum dividend under the three calculations?
And
the total dividend over the five-year period.
That's Brenda Applegate to join us.
So I've got the numbers behind the graph.
Thank you, Brian.
Oh, you're welcome. So I don't know if it'd be helpful. Maybe what would be helpful is to go on the statutory side, and I can give you the actual dollar amount of the statutory maximum and minimums.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you'll find when you look at the different scenarios is in many years we would not have been able to pay the calculated dividend because of the statutory limit. The calculated dividend was either above our statutory limit or below the statutory limit as the statute currently reads. So in a nutshell, that's kind of where we are. For 2000, let's see, we did a 10-year. Do you want me just to run through the statutory limits real quick so you can have that information to that?
Perhaps, maybe just for the same period as on the graphs.
Yeah. So for 2007, the minimum...
Why don't we start at 2010?
Yeah.
2010. Even shorter period, five-year period.
Yeah,
five years. So, okay, I'll take you to...
12.
So, you're asking me to read across here. Let me make sure I got the right numbers. So, 2012, the minimum was $10,372,691. The maximum was $20,745,382. So for that year, some of those scenarios we would have been over or under those statutory limits. 2013, the minimum was $5,332,441. The maximum was $10,664,881. For 2014, the minimum would have been $8,829,576. The maximum, $17,659,152. 2015, minimum is $6,327,300. Maximum, $12,654,599. And 16, minimum, $9,476,882. Maximum $18,941,364.
Mr. Chairman.
Fred?
I just wanted to be sure I understood the min and max are the 25 and 50.
Mm-hmm. Under current statute.
Right.
Dan?
So is our goal here, is the motivation trying to smooth out a steady dividend payable to the state every year? Is that where we're looking at this?
I suppose we should anticipate, had it not been for last year, I mean, we should anticipate that come June that legislation may pass, or maybe not. But the first big hurdle that we discussed was whether, unrealized gains is really a component of profit. And then second is that we have, pretty wild swings between 25 and 50%. So maybe a scenario where we take an average, so it's more of a
like a 5-year wait.
Yeah, instead of having up and down, which would give more certainty to the administration when they're doing their budgeting and planning purposes. There would still be a range in there, but it would be a smaller range, and hopefully it would be more certainty to them. So when they do, because by the time we declare a dividend, they essentially have done their budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the budgeted amount, if I could, was less than the dividend we paid.
Yeah.
So
that was more.
No, it was less than.
You had to adjust your budget up.
Yeah. The dividend was more than what was in the budget.
Yeah, the dividend was more. Yeah.
So I really like option three. So John, if a legislator would ask you next year, how do you calculate your dividend? And you said, we do it just like the permanent fund. Is that correct if we take option three?
Oh, I would say it's similar to the permanent fund, but given my first point, allowing the board to balance between the financial return to the state while retaining financial capability for ADA to achieve its enterprise economic development mission, leaving the discretion of the board, between 25 and 50%, rather than the permanent fund dividend, which is a straight calculation.
So, but we do it just like the permanent fund, and that provides the high and the low.
How with the high and the low.
With the high and low.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
so the similar components would be to remove the unrealized gains and losses from the net income, like the permanent fund, mm-hmm. and then to use a 5-year average, like the permanent fund.
But we have one more ability, a 25% or 50%.
We have a subjective call.
Yes.
Between the two.
Which is good, I think, because if we cash flow requires or something's coming up that gives the board the tool to address it, or if we have excess, we have the tool to declare a bigger dividend up to the 50%.
I'm ready to support number three and for a resolution at our next meeting to adopt that.
So is that a motion?
No, I'm just running where I'm at.
So it requires statutorial change. So we would need a...
I guess there are a couple of different components. There's you can adopt a policy that states how you would go about the calculating the dividend, but given the statute, you'd still have statutory limitations. But moving forward and being progressive, I think a goal would be. Are there parts of a policy that make sense to put into statute? So, I guess one case would be, the middle chart, which shows the exclusion of unrealized gains and losses, that lines up with the proposed legislation that we have, that we introduced last year, and that we understand is continuing in this legislative session to remove unrealized gains and losses from the calculation. So then we would not have the top chart setting the statutory boundary.
Well, if the legislation passes
right.
We still have to set those statutory minimums and maximums, but then theoretically we would be...
Yeah, if this legislation moves through that we introduced last session, then our new potential statutory would be the middle chart.
Or we ask the legislation
we'll be able to do a 5-year rolling average, which I agree with Gary. I like that a lot better.
Yeah, and then we could introduce that as amending our bill.
Okay. So maybe a resolution supporting 3, so that we can they can back with the with the legislation. As a board, we support 3 with and attach that to the rest of the legislation as far as the packet. Would that, Gary, from a...
It would just be an amendment. It would just be a committee substitute with the new language in it.
Yeah. Well, the bill hasn't been introduced yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's not in the hopper? No, of course.
And then perhaps setting something up that can be flexible where discussing it as policy. In a resolution, but then having available to be agile, a recommendation of a committee substitute.
Well, let's see if we can get the legislation. I think there's consensus here for the third bullet point there. Let's see if we can get that incorporated in the proposed legislation, and then as a board function, at our next board meeting, we have a resolution supporting the legislation as
amended.
So the governor's bill?
Yeah.
Legislation requires the governor's office.
Right. Exactly. And that's for Fred to tell Michaela to work on the No.
Okay.
I'm not sure I like it entirely. I'd rather smooth the top chart, but.
Well, sure.
Okay.
Michaela has been notified.
So that concludes the discussion. Matt, director's comments.
Good, he's still in the room. I wanted to acknowledge and to thank Nick Simoniak for his service to Ada. The first time Nick set foot in this physical building was in 2006, for an internship with the Alaska Energy Authority. And, years later...
Here's the photo. Here's the photo on top of the wind turbine in Tuxedo Bay, 22 years old.
And, also note that, since then, Nick has served with Ada for the past 5 years, and he's been instrumental in so many of Ada's efforts, in particular the Interior Energy Project. And, we're all thankful for his contributions to the authority. Now, Nick once told me the story of getting an early morning call from another famous Homerun, Tom Baudet. He quickly asked, "Tom, why are you calling me this early?" And it turned out it was an automated recorded wake-up call for the hotel he was staying at.
Hotel stay.
So, with that, Nick, we wish you well as you move into your new responsibilities with AGDC. And as Tom Baudet says, we'll leave the light on for you.
Thank you, John. It's been an honor to work with you and this board.
Thank you.
His beard finally grown out and he leaves.
Yeah. It doesn't squeak anymore when it grows. It's WD-40.
There's a few gray ones showing up too. I think he might have done that.
Well, selfishness, I'm glad we have a point of contact over there.
Yes, yes.
We know how conniving he is.
Yeah, we do appreciate your contributions and your efforts in getting this MOU to the finish line. So thank you very much.
You're here.
And then with that, more normal business, loan dashboard and reports, development project matrices and project fact sheets are available for board's review. It should be included a copy of ADA's 2016 annual report in your along with the board packets. And then continuing education calendar, if board members are interested in attending a course, please contact Sherry Severson. And the next ADA board meeting is scheduled for Thursday, February 23rd, 2017 at ADA's office.
Okay. Board comments.
Chair?
Yes.
You had talked about a budget audit committee. Are you still planning on doing that?
Yeah, that was going to be my comment. I was going to.
Oh, I'll wait for you.
Okay. All right. Before I do that, let me just go ahead and do that. So we talked a little bit about
an audit and budget committee subcommittee for our board, and unless there's any objections, I'd like to go ahead and act on that and appoint the subcommittee with the agreement of Dan as the chair, Fred and Gary as co-board members to do that, and work with John and the client accounting staff to come up with a policy or a program to do the audit and on the budget. Are there any objections to that? So we'll go ahead and put that in motion. As you said, other comments on other subjects?
I really like this.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's a real nice document. Thank you very much. Yeah, and I like the very first graphic on page 24, talking about dividends paid.
So. They used to be paid.
Yeah. I'll pass on the thanks to Tom Lightcast.
He's like a dog with a bone.
Okay. All right, put your hands up. Move into that thing, and first place you should do is look for your picture. Come on.
The numbers first.
Well, you would.
Yeah.
The numbers.
Oh, gosh.
Excuse me.
Well, I'd like to thank the board for their efforts today. It's been a long day. Got through a lot of topics. Got the MOU behind us. I'm sure there'll be challenges and more topics in front of us. Appreciate everybody's traveling and the efforts. I'd like to thank the staff. From both the IDP and the regulator staff on today's business to make our lives easier. Sherry and Corinne, Jennifer, of course, we all know Jerry over there. Over the briefcase. Anyway, thank you very much. And with that, I will take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. We are adjourned. Thank you.